Infinity Games Podcast.
I'm Jukebox Hero.
And I'm Kelrix.
And this is a new podcast where we just freak the fuck out about video games and nerd stuff.
Yay, nerd stuff.
And today we're going over the Nintendo Switch Nindies showcase.
Which is essentially indie developers making games for the Switch that aren't, what is it, directly done through Nintendo,
right? Yeah, they're third parties, they're independent developers.
Okay.
And this is going to be a live reaction, so...
You will hear a bit of background noise. Hopefully.
Yeah.
That click, though. Love the click. It's satisfying.
It was actually kind of sad, because I was super excited about watching this, and I woke up right after it ended.
Aww.
I mean, like, they uploaded when it was, like, immediately.
But... You mean, like, when it was live?
Yeah.
I got you.
Hey, remember that thing you were talking about?
Yeah, I remember that thing I was talking about. Jesus Christ.
SteamWorld Dig 2. That's how the thing opens.
I'm hype. I love that. I got it on the eShop on my Nintendo DS, and oh, it was so good.
See, I've never played it, but I get the gist just from playing, like, mini-clip games back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Like, one mini-clip game that really reminded me of it was, I don't know if you ever played it, it was called Motherlode.
Nope.
You worked a drill machine, and you dug down, and the whole thing was just get gems and stuff and buy upgrades and get as deep as you can.
There was one really shitty Bible game on the NES.
Oh, God.
I think it was Exodus, but it kind of reminds me of this, but if it was completely 2D.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I know which one you're talking about, yeah. Yeah, SteamWorld Dig, the first one, was really good. It was a bit short. I think I beat it in a couple of days, playing a few hours a day. I put maybe 9 or 10 hours into it. It was good, though. I had a lot of fun with it.
Do you think that the price was fair for that amount of time?
I mean, I paid $10 for it. No, wait. I might have even paid less than that. I paid anywhere from maybe as cheap as 5 or 6 to maybe as high as 15. I'm honestly... I can't remember. I cannot remember. But I had fun with it. I wasn't regretting however much I did spend on it. I mean, there's replayability to a degree, but I mean, I haven't picked it up since I beat it the first time.
And I'll assume SteamWorld Dig 2 will have more, obviously.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Because SteamWorld Dig 1 was a...
The words
don't come out! Because it was just a short indie eShop game, right? It was never intended to be sold for, you know, full 3DS game price, and had it been, then I would have assumed it would have been a lot longer, and you would have hopefully been able to get about 20 hours in, but...
Yeah. And, I mean, I've never played it, but it looks fun. I mean, if they opened up the show with it, I'll assume it's kind of somewhat of a big deal.
It's tons of fun. It definitely is. If it ever goes on, like, a really cheap sale, I'd definitely say pick it up. It's a real good time waster, for sure.
Okay, here's the next trailer.
Dun 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 dun.
Oh, I forgot about it already.
I'm excited for Yooka-Laylee.
Hell yeah.
I'm really excited for Yooka-Laylee.
The fucking collect-a-thon's coming.
Yes!
Now, it should be noted this won't be like a Nintendo Switch exclusive.
Oh, it's coming out on everything.
But I mean, like, the fact that it's on it doesn't hurt.
No, not at all. And me personally, if I was gonna pick a system to play it on, I probably would want to get it on the Switch, simply because...
Portability,
yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But also because, to me, it's a nostalgia thing. It's like Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, they were on the Nintendo 64, so its spiritual successor in Yooka-Laylee, in my opinion, shouldn't be played on anything but a Nintendo product.
Yeah, I can dig that. I just want to note one thing about that trailer, is they said Ace Multiplayer. Fucking, they're in with the young kid slang. That game is Ace.
YOLO.
No, fucking... If I remember, Grant Kirkhope, he did the music for Yooka-Laylee, which is important to me, because he did all the music for the Banjo games.
Oh, and the music's so good.
Yeah.
Have you, aside from, like, trailers and stuff, have you watched any gameplay for Yooka-Laylee?
No, I saw, like, the the announcement trailer type things, and that's about it.
I watched a small amount of gameplay. It was maybe like a 15-minute video. It was solid. It seemed, whichever level they were in, to me, unfortunately, it did seem a little bit boring. It might have just been the area they were in, but...
I feel like that's just a thing about collectathon games, though. Because, like, if you ever watch people play Banjo-Kazooie, unless they're really good and know where the fuck everything is, it's boring to watch.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, right? But it's... And, of course, there's the big difference between, like, you know, watching the game happen and playing the game. But the stage they were playing in question, it was like a casino stage, kind of. A la Sonic the Hedgehog.
You should pause this for a second.
Okay, but... So, they're in this casino stage, and at least from what I watched, the majority of it was using your bat friend to shoot sonic waves of crystals to raise and lower platforms so that you could proceed through the level. And there was no real mechanic aside from that, which was...
Right.
You know, at that point, it's kind of
basic.
But again, I'm also assuming and, well, hoping to a degree that maybe that stage is one of the ones very early on in the game, so that it's more of a, you know, here's a new mechanic that you're going to need a lot later on, and you're going to need to get creative with later on, so...
Teaching you how to play a game without just, like, here's a tutorial
kind of bullshit. Because, I mean, it's like
you just integrate it slowly and then add new things.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, it's like, you look at, like, Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, and it's like, you have all these different, like, eggs and... power-ups for Kazooie and everything, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you don't get them all right off the get-go. Like, you're gradually introduced. It's like, hey, here's an area where all you can do is run, jump, and ground pound, essentially. Yeah. And then you get to the next one, hey, suddenly you can run super fast. And then the next one you can fly. And then the next one you start getting different eggs that, you know, explode or freeze or et cetera, et cetera.
And I think an important part of all that would be pacing.
Yeah.
So... Sequelitis here, fucking Mega Man X.
Yes!
You get that all in, like, a single stage. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, they pretty much teach you all the mechanics of the game in a single stage.
What do I do?
But, like, with Banjo-Kazooie, they kind of got to spread that out a little more over a bigger world, because they're like, it's more intricate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the things that you do, the things that you can have Kazooie do, are more intricate then.
And because, of course, when you're comparing the two, like, as far as a learning curve type thing, it's, I mean, you can be, if you're good, you can beat Mega Man X in a little over an hour.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you're a speedrunning god, in which case it's like, oh, I got a half hour to burn. Yeah. But, like, with Banjo-Tooie, it's like, even talking about a speedrunner and stuff, it's like, you're still sinking at least a few hours into it at the point of, like, perfection speedrunning. So, casually, I could probably do Mega Man X in... you know, maybe a day if I sat down and went at it, right? Whereas Banjo-Tooie, I'm not beating that in a day. Not unless I pull a 24-hour all-nighter, which, I mean, I could, but I'm not
good. Fuck that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just that. So, yeah, of course, they got to spread it out some more. So I'm hoping that Yooka-Laylee does the same thing.
Yeah. Because I'm sure it won't be another, you know, Mighty Number 9.
Oh.
I feel just from, like, the visuals and everything they're showing us, that it's going to be closer to what everyone's hyping it up to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm
so sad about Mighty Number 9. I still love it, but it's so broken.
Yeah. I mean, it's mediocre. Maybe they'll stay in business and do something better next time, at least.
Yeah, I could hope. I mean...
It's not like the first Mega Man was perfect.
No,
I mean, they made lots of improvements and changes over it.
I mean, it's just one of those things. As you compare Mega Man 1 to, like, Mega Man 2... And I mean...
As, like, a steaming pile of shit to, like, a legendary thing.
To, like... It's, like, a steaming pile of shit to, like, a golden turd. But, no, because, I mean... Mega Man 2 improved on everything. And by everything, I mean they gave you the Metal Blade.
Yes.
They're like, here, have one weapon. We're going to shove 7 other bosses into it. Good luck.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways...
Hold on. We actually missed an entire trailer while we were talking.
Did we?
Well, did you see any of it? It was called Overcooked.
Do we care?
Nope.
No? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
To sum it up, from what I caught out of the corner of my eye, it seemed very crappy 2-player co-op cooking mama, not fun kind of thing.
It looked kind of mediocre.
I mean,
if you're into that kind of thing, fine. If it's cheap, fine. But, like, for me,
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, we won't get too off topic, but it's kind of like my opinion on ARMS for the Switch. I mean, ARMS looks like a ton of fun. Am I going to buy it? No. No, I'm not touching it. If I see it on sale one day for like $20, I'll pick it up because, you know, the two of us could have a good old time with it. But I'm not paying full price or anything close to full price for it.
I still think the game is more complex than we've been led to believe, like what they've shown us. Like, there's probably a lot more modes and multiplayer and stuff.
I don't doubt that.
I don't remember if I told you, but we did find out a little later on that you can play with a controller without having to, like, move your arms and shit.
Yeah, you did tell me about that. Me, personally, I'd still use the Joy-Cons just because, screw it. It's a boxing game. I'm a punch.
Yeah, but I think that was important for a lot of people thinking it was stupid because they're like, we finally got a new console. I don't want to move anymore.
Yeah, right?
Let me be a lazy blob.
The idea of advanced video gaming is to move less and less. Because eventually we're going to get like some Sword Art Online shit, and we're just going to turn into vegetables.
Yeah, just have like a plug built into your brain and just go...
That was a great movie. On with my day. But
be like some Matrix bullshit.
Yeah, as far as that Overcooked game, I mean... I don't find it needs any mention.
They went so fast on it in the presentation.
It was all 50. It was 15 seconds of like, here it is, and it's gone. But talking about it seriously for half a second is just, I mean, to me it'd be a party game. You know, if we went and we had some friends over and they were like, hey, I found this for cheap, let's play it. It's a good time if you have a team of four and you can screw each other over. Then I imagine having fun with it for a couple of hours. But as far as, you know, buying it, coming home, being like, oh my god, I got a new game, I can't wait to play it. Like, it's not happening.
I assume all these are going to be eShop, but with that game, I mean, couch co-op, it kind of suits the system really well because it comes built with two Joy-Cons for two people to play. So if you're like at home on the couch with your buddy and it's like, you got $5 to burn, you go buy that game and then you play it for a while.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's a good time.
But it'd be an alright couch killer. It
was worth mentioning. It's not worth making a fuss about.
No. So we're moving on, and now we got the Escapists 2, which... I know nothing about, so hopefully you can shed some light.
I don't actually know either, so just play it.
Let's see.
I can't remember, but, like, I thought it had to do something with, like, the Escapist, like... I don't remember if they're a magazine. I just watch them on YouTube.
I know who you're talking about, I don't think it's,
Because they had, like, Jim Sterling and Yahtzee and those guys, and I watched them, and I thought they were part of the Escapist, and I thought that was related to this game.
I mean, it strikes me as pretty much just a standard, like, you're in prison, make friends, don't make enemies, get out.
Yeah. What it actually kind of reminded me of, maybe a little, was, like, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, but in a prison setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
They didn't really show much gameplay, but from what we saw, that's kind of what I got.
I mean, you're in a prison, you can fight people, you can talk to people, and you can craft weapons and items and stuff, so I imagine...
Yeah,
it's probably similar. I see the basis of the game pretty much going like, you start the game, you're the new guy in prison, you gotta immediately find where you stand, learn who you can, you know, for lack of a better term, sit with at the lunch table, air quotes, and then, you know, work your way through the standing, start, you know, working your way to the top, gaining the trust of some badder dudes, gaining the trust of the guards, getting more freedoms to go around as you please, find stuff that you need for your escape, and eventually making your escape.
I can only hope it's that deep.
Will it be?
To me, it would be like level based.
I mean, I could hope it would essentially be that deep, but again, assuming they're eShop titles, it probably won't be.
Yeah, if I remember, the Escapist one, because it's on Steam, and I assume the second one will be coming out on Steam, like, I'm pretty sure it did, like, extremely well.
I also remember it doing very well. I remember it getting very high praise.
So, onwards, I forget what developer he just said.
I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I thought this game was really cute. I've never heard of it before this.
What? I couldn't read the title. It was in some weird font.
Goner, I think? So, like, essentially you have a whale friend.
I want a whale friend.
And it's cute, and Death is your mentor and gives you power. So,
I'm friends with Death? Yes! It's everything I've ever wanted in life.
Okay, so it is called Goner. I mean, it has a very nice art style, if you ask me. Like, I think it's cute.
It's one of the... I'm on the fence about it. We'll have to see more about it.
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
It kind of just looked like another platformer, but it looks cute. It had its own art style that's a little bit different from the norm.
Okay, so now Dandara. This strikes me as a
strong black woman who ain't need no man.
I mean, yes. But I was thinking, what's the game you were just telling me about the other day? That NNNNN?
Oh, VVVV.
Yeah, VVVV. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Oh, they're just running through these.
Oh, they're just blasting through a bunch of quick ones here.
Hey. Yeah, so this one's like, you're a king, and you collect taxes or something, and fight wars. The graphics remind me of, like, King's Quest, which is kind of funny.
Indeed.
But it's multiplayer, and my girlfriend actually said that one looked really interesting to her, so hopefully we'll see more.
It
looks a little more in-depth.
I definitely have to see more. It looked interesting, but I'd need to see more to warrant a potential purchase or anything.
That's what all those ones kind of were, because they just flip through them real quick.
Oh.
Runner 3. This one got me really excited, because this pretty much created the runner genre before, like, you know, the Mayan Temple and all those other runner games came up.
Personally, I hate runner games.
I mean, I'm okay with them as long as they're not too difficult where you have to be, like, a gaming god to actually beat them. But what got me so excited about this is because I remember Bit Trip Runner being a huge deal on the Wii, so that was one of the ones they were more successful with, like, as far as independent titles went and stuff. And they just made it, like, 3D. 2.5D. I mean,
you know what this reminds me of?
It's very different.
You know what this reminds me of? It's what Sonic should have been when it came to 3D.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that would have worked really well
for Sonic. As far as forced runner games, I personally don't like them. I've never been able to find the entertainment in them just because it's like, to me, they're boring.
Yeah.
Right? I understand how they're fun. I do. It's just, me personally, if I'm playing one, I'm bored in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, that was great. I'm going to play something with a little more substance.
Oh, this is the one I was most excited about.
Oh, Blaster Master.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It is so fucking pretty.
Oh, God, it looks so good.
Fucking, I want this. And it comes out, like, on the 7th.
Like, tomorrow?
Yeah, like, tomorrow.
Oh,
we're dating this.
That's wonderful.
But my God, because, like, it has the same kind of visual feel as, like, the NES.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When it first booted...
Oh, it's on 3DS, too.
Oh, no, the 9th.
Oh, fuck that. It's still, like, 3 days.
Damn! But, yeah, no, it looks awesome, because it's, like, it booted up and started showing the trailer, and immediately I'm like, oh, cool, they're showing the NES one for comparison. No. No.
And I really like that, because if you've ever played the NES version, you know it's a lot more blocky, and there's not nearly as much detail, because of, like, the constraints of the system itself, you're allowed to do a lot more with a, you know, modern PC gaming console and stuff. So, like, the backgrounds were a lot more intricate. Like, even that wave that came through, that wave of water, had more detail than you'd experience on the NES.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But, like, they still kept the blocky 8-bit look, just with more colors, more detail.
Reminds me of, oh, what's the game I'm thinking of? Something else did something very similar, to the point where it was, like, it was the exact same art style, it was just souped up really well.
I know Mega Man 9 did it. Mega Man 9 and 10.
That's probably the one I'm thinking about. That's probably the best example, because it's literally like what they had for Mega Man 9 and 10 could have run on an NES. It just would have, colors and stuff might have had to been dialed down a little bit.
And to a little more technical point, the stuff that was in 9 and 10 probably couldn't have run on an NES, but that's just for the fact of how many, like, sprites are on the screen at the same time.
So. Yeah.
Because even on the NES games, they push those to the limit. That's why you got so much stutter and then, like, flashing, flickering stuff.
I mean, I should have clarified. I didn't mean, of course, like, oh yeah, you could take 9 and 10 and just throw them on the NES.
Yeah.
I mean, they could run just fine, like, with the proper constraints made.
Yeah.
Right?
I got where you were going, but, like,
yeah.
If you took a person who doesn't necessarily retro game or anything, and you made him play Mega Man 2 and then you made him play Mega Man 9, they'd think it was from the same console, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Just until, because, you know, like, handed them the Wii controller.
Yeah, and then they'd be like, wait, what? And they'd be like, what's a cord? This thing that you're going to learn to hate real fast.
Oh, God. But, my God, fucking Blaster Master, because that was like an NES classic that just got forgotten completely.
I can't remember, do I have it or do you have it?
You have it.
Yay!
Oh, you moved your shelf.
It's in the bedroom.
Right. Yeah, buddy here bought it for like $10.
And it's wonderful. Yeah, it played for all of 20 minutes because it kicked my ass.
Yeah, and this new one I'm pretty sure is going to kick asses too, because I was listening to people who were actually at the Nindies event when they got to play the demos and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it still has like fall damage.
So, sons of bitches.
So it's like Donkey Kong arcade levels of fall damage, where like you walk off a girder, you fall like 2 feet, and you die.
Oh, I'm going to learn to hate that real fast. I mean, I'll definitely, because my thing is, when I buy a Switch eventually, I'm not going to buy a Switch and two games.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Like, I'm going to save up some cash so I can go buy a Switch and get, because, I mean, let's be real. Like, with how Nintendo works, supply and demand, it's, even if I had the money in a week,
yeah,
I wouldn't be finding one in stores.
No kidding.
For a while. I mean, look what happened when I tried to get my PS4, for example. I mean, like, that thing came out, I didn't get one for 9 months after, I think.
Yeah.
And it was a total fluke. I just so happened to call my game store just on a whim. I was like, eh, screw it. It's not like they're going to have any, but it's worth a shot, and sure shit. They're like, yeah, we got some. I'll be there. Like,
yeah, I still feel like it's not going to be as hard to get the Switch, because I know they had adequate amount for like the launch window. It's the question is, how much are they going to release after that?
Yeah, exactly.
And their estimates are that they're going to sell 5 million within 2017, which is a reasonable number.
I mean, they
for the
sold
type of launch they gave.
How many did they sell at launch? 2 million?
2 million is what they allocated.
Yeah. Okay, and you just said they expect what, 50 million or 5?
Five.
5 million? 50 million. Where am I? Everybody gets a Switch. We'd be an Oprah up in here.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, so I mean, of course, if 2 million are already out, and we're gonna,
we're gonna release 3 more million over the next 9 months.
With the intent of selling them, not including how much they sell, or how many they push out on top of that other 3 million to, yeah, you know, make profit and, you know, break, yeah, some records if that's what they're going for. Which
I don't think they will.
No, probably not. But
however, if they did actually sell all 2 million in that first launch day or the first two launch days, it would technically be the fastest selling console. Because, yeah, the PS4 did 1 million in the launch weekend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious to see when numbers come, but that probably won't be for about 3 weeks afterwards. It's usually when VG charts gets updated on that stuff.
Yeah, so it'll be exciting to see where the Switch goes, but definitely, like, I'm probably gonna, as far as me buying the Switch, I'm probably gonna save up, you know, enough for the console, and then
a few games,
yeah, for sure. Me personally, I don't really give a shit about getting a pro controller.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to, just in case, because I mean, I got big hands, so I mean, I don't know how I'm gonna work with the Joy-Con slip-on controller that they have. So
my buddy, he had access to a Switch, and he played all 24 games on 1-2 Switch.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got to kind of hold it in all the different configurations. And when I was watching Linus Tech Tips, their guide, I think his name is Kyle, he did a review from a PC gamer's perspective. And then, I mean, also overall, he, with the controllers, their biggest complaint,
mm-hmm,
was if you had them on the tablet, the staggered Joy-Cons,
yeah,
that was uncomfortable. Like, yeah, you'd have to move your thumb down, and then you'd have a hard time supporting it. That was their biggest case for having a pro controller.
That genuinely bothered me, too, when I first saw them release the Switch. I was like, it's an Xbox all over again. I hate Xbox controllers. I do. I hate the staggered joysticks. I hate how I'm playing an Xbox and my hands aren't symmetrical.
And I think that comes down to preference at the same point, though.
It does, right?
Because I'm pretty sure on the Pro Controller, they're still staggered. It's just a little more ergonomic.
Yeah, which is true. And it's the same with, before I sold my Xbox One, it was the same. When I did play it, it did feel better because the handles were pushed further out, so your thumbs were more naturally inclined to those positions.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, playing an original Xbox 360 controller, which, I mean, depending on the game, I got used to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when I'm playing Tales of Vesperia or whatever, I don't need that second joystick very much, if right, at all, right?
Yeah.
Unless I'm doing some badass combos or something. So,
and see, I'm on the other side. I have fairly small hands.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe average.
I mean, I think I got maybe about half an inch on you per finger.
Yeah.
If that.
Which gives no one any idea, because this is audio only. But, so I'm more comfortable with an Xbox controller, and then what I find with the DualShock controllers is that the parts that are angled down where you actually like wrap your fingers around, they kind of dig into my palms a little bit more, and that actually becomes more fatiguing and painful over time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all down to preference, but the biggest concern that I've been seeing as far as the controllers is when it's in tablet mode, you'll have a hard time supporting the system because you got to kind of move your thumbs. Otherwise, my buddy who had access to it, he held it in all configurations, and he too has big hands and was worried about the tiny-ass controllers.
Yeah.
And he said it was comfy. Even when they were held sideways when they're tiny, it was still enough to be comfy.
Well, alright, sold then.
Yeah. And in Canadian dollars, that Pro Controller is $100. So, I mean, it's painful.
It's rough, it is. That's why I'm saying, like, I definitely save up just in case. And, I mean, I wouldn't, like, get my Switch, get my games, and then grab a Pro Controller. I would get my Switch, get my games, and then I'd, you know, come home,
it out a bit.
Play it for, you know, a few days or a week or whatever. And if it was, like, hurting my hands or whatever, then I'd be like, okay, well, maybe then I can justify spending $100 on a friggin' controller.
Yeah.
Because at least then my hands aren't going to cramp up while I'm Zelda-ing or I'm playing Blaster Master or, I mean, I'm blanking. Like, if I'm playing the new Bomber Fire Emblem Man. Games or, or Bomberman or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So.
And, I don't know. In Canadian dollars, then, we're going to have to keep clarifying that. It's $100. But for a new DualShock 4, it's $80.
Yeah.
Like $79.99.
So I should know. I've bought enough of those.
It's a jump. Like, it's a $20 jump, which is fairly significant, but at the same time, I think people overreacted to that price.
They did.
I mean, painful as it is, it's still close enough.
I mean, yeah, because it's just that. It's because that kind of thing's always bothered me when people come to comparing prices and they're like, oh, they jacked up the price and it's so expensive now. And I'm like, you just spent $10 less on the equivalent for something, for like a different system.
Yeah.
Like you just said, it's like you're whining about the Pro Controller price, but you have no issue dropping $80 on a PlayStation controller.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you're me, you're just going to complain that you're spending money.
Well, I mean, well, that's exactly it. It's like, because you can't escape from the fact that, yeah, it's a $100 controller. And that sucks.
And with that extra $20, you could probably buy the new Blaster Master.
Right? See? Priorities, people.
Yep. Yep.
So, anyway, so we're going to move on
with the presentation.
With that.
Yeah. We're oh, just over a third through, almost halfway.
Actually, we are halfway.
Never mind. I was rounding up to 20. And we're at Flipping Death.
So let's see what this is all about.
And the moment I saw it, I was drawing comparisons to an indie game on Steam called Manual Samuel.
Are they going to show us anything?
Yeah, there we go. They got a trailer. But,
oh, this art style.
Yeah, I didn't like it. That's what reminded me of Manual Samuel, because it's kind of almost Flash-like. I mean, it's got a lot more detail and stuff, but I mean, I just don't like that kind of art style.
Yeah, no, it grosses me out.
Yeah, those long, gangly limbs.
Yeah, it bothers me. It's creepy.
Yeah, so the whole premise of this game is that the girl dies, and she pretty much takes the job from death, and then she possesses humans and human objects in order to,
kill people!
Yeah, they just said it right there. To help ghosts with their problems. So, I mean, it's a nice premise, and I think it'll come down to personal preference, because, like, I can't stand looking at it.
Nope.
But if it had a different look, I think it's still probably fun. The mechanics are probably solid.
You know what? You know what would, make it work for me? Is if it looked like SteamWorld Dig 2 did. I'm not lying. If it looked like that, or at least similar,
yeah,
I'd probably get on board with it. But looking the way it does, I'm not a fan. I wouldn't pick it up.
And that's still a preference.
It is.
This next one, I can't remember the name, but it's a shooter, and I am all the fuck about shooters.
You know what this reminds me of? Huh. Helicopter. Like that old Flash game Helicopter. That's what this reminds me of.
Which is really strange, because it's like nothing like it.
It's just how the walls are designed, right?
Graceful explosion machine. Yeah, it's very geometric and like very brightly colored. Like, it's the aesthetic that I really like.
I'm going to call it gem.
We'll call it a gem aesthetic.
You can pause this. No, I meant gem as in it's... What? Christ, what was the name of it again? Sorry. Hang on.
Graceful explosion. Bleh.
Yeah, so make it an acronym. GEM. GEM. So I'm going to call it Gem. That's what I'm going to call it.
Okay, we'll call it Gem. But, as a shooter fan, it's always interesting to see people use very large obstacles and bullets. And from this, you know, you got a corridor and you got a spray of bullets coming at you where each bullet's pretty much the size of your machine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot more difficult and it's a lot easier to make those shitty.
Yeah, it is. It's real easy to make one of them look really fun when you're doing your trailers and stuff, and then you get the game and you're like, ah, this is terrible.
Yeah, the motion looks really fluid. I can't tell if there's a lot of, like, momentum, like if you're moving forward and then you go to hit back if you still move forward a little before going back. I can't really tell that from watching it, but I mean, if it's got tight controls, it'll be fine with the big obstacles.
Oh, absolutely. That's the most important thing, especially when you're comparing it. Because it's not, by definition, like a bullet hell shooter, but no. I mean, it's...
It's just a shooter.
It is, right? Shooter. So...
And I mean, I love bullet hell shooters, and the biggest difference is, like, with a bullet hell shooter, you have a billion projectiles coming at you, but you can kind of crease your way in between them. With one with big blocks, it's just as much coming at you as far as surface area is concerned.
Yeah.
You just gotta find a different way around them.
Exactly.
So, like, in a bullet hell, you have more opportunities to get around something. In this one, you're going to have to find that one crease.
And I mean, at the end of the day, the most important thing is, no matter what, is tight controls. Like, imagine playing a bullet hell shooter where you slid. Like, if you're like, oh, I got to go to the right. No, I got to go to the left. Imagine if you slid a tiny bit in every direction.
Yeah.
Like there's no way.
It would be the worst.
So it boils down to that, right? It's all tight controls. So, I mean, hopefully this has really tight controls. Hopefully it's got a little more to it than we're seeing right now. Because, I mean, I'm game for a shooter, too. Like, I love Misame Karuga, for example. I swear I will get a copy of that one day when I have money.
Or when we get lucky. Usually it's when we get lucky.
Or I'll just get a Dreamcast one day and I'll burn the CD. I don't know. I'll figure something out. Yeah, but
that's what I did.
But I mean, Ikaruga, bullet hell shooter. Yeah. Hard as tits. So much fun. So I mean, I'm down for a shooter. So I'd like to see where this one ends up going. I'd like to see if maybe you get a bird's eye perspective. Oh, like something similar to like Galaga or
I don't know. From what they're showing, it all looks side-scrolling, which would be closer to like a UN Squadron or Gradius or something like that.
Which is totally fine. I think it'd be cool to see a game where you can transition between both of them, depending on the level. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Though, sometimes that just feels hard. It's almost like Contra.
Yeah.
Top-down levels are the worst.
We don't talk about those.
But, with a lot of these that they're showing for the Nindies, I mean, it's very short, 20-second clips or whatever. We're going to have to see a lot more before we make decisions and stuff, but from what we're seeing, it's very pretty and it's promising.
It is, and it's good.
Same with the most of these games.
I mean, we still got another 8 minutes to go here. We're probably going to have another 6 or 7 games showing. So, I mean, it's good to know that if you get a Switch and... You know, you're tight on cash, and it's, let's say you're like, oh, I only have $120, I can't afford more than just one Switch launch title. I'm assuming that they're going to be a standard $80 Canadian for us.
Which they are.
They are? Okay, yeah. I didn't check when we were...
Depending on the game, so like Breath of the Wild, you know, mm-hmm. AAA, big deal, it's $80. 1-2 Switch, which I'm really glad they did this, is only $65. So they acknowledged that it's not like a full, you'll have insane amounts of replay, you'll play this for 100 hours... They kind of acknowledge that and price it lower. And then you have, like, Binding of Isaac or whatever.
Isaac.
That one, I think it's getting a physical release, and it's $55.
Okay, which
I think might be a lot, because I don't know how much it costs on Steam. But at the same time, they acknowledge that this isn't a full AAA title, and they price it more accordingly.
I mean, to my understanding on Steam, if you take Binding of Isaac and you get it and its expansions and stuff, you're probably looking at maybe a 40... I mean, depending on sales and stuff, because I know you'll wait for sales. Yeah. Like you're super patient about that stuff. I'm not. So, I mean, if you wait for sales, you could probably get the whole Binding of Isaac thing for, I mean, maybe anywhere from maybe $25 to $35.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're me and you were just like, nope, screw it, I got the cash, I want the game, I want all of it, you're maybe looking at around 45.
Yeah, so 55 Canadian wouldn't be totally unreasonable.
No, not at all.
And the fact that it is a third-party title and it's not as big of a deal means that the price will go down.
Yeah.
Like, first-party Nintendo stuff never fucking goes down. You go to buy Wii U games right now and they're still full price.
I mean, It could be 2027, literally 10 years from now. You're not getting Breath of the Wild for $40. No way.
Yeah, I got fucking lucky for that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. When they were clearing out the GameCube stuff, like, the very last push to get it out.
Yeah.
I bought a few games then, and I'm really sad, because that was back when I was still in high school, and $5 was, like, a big purchase for me, because I'm a cheap ass.
The good old days.
But, like, I got Metroid Prime and Zelda Wind Waker and something else, and they were, like, $5, and then I bought a bunch of smaller titles that were, like, $1 to $2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, eventually they will get cleared out. With the fact of inflation and the fact that our dollar's a bit weaker, if you go through the Wii stuff that they're trying to clear up, the average price is between $5 and $8.
Yeah.
And that's kind of about as low as it'll get.
You imagine.
But eventually things just get down to that point, and that's usually when I try and jump on them.
Do you imagine just, like, rooting through those one day, and there's, like, two copies of Xenoblade Chronicles, The Last Story, in Pandora's Tower, and it's just like, I'll take all of these to eBay.
My God. Fucking, dude, I lost my shit. The one in Southgate?
Oh, yeah.
Because they've reorganized the store maybe 3 times in the past 4 months.
Oh.
Mostly because, you know, they have new console releases, and then they're trying to downsize on the used games of the 360, the PS3, and the Wii, which I'm glad they're finally doing, because they rode that generation for way too fucking long. Like, yeah. We moved into the next generation, they didn't, because they were still making money on it. And the fact that they kept it around kind of, you know, kneecapped the new generation a little bit. But they moved everything around, and they put all the Wii games in a single bin.
Yeah.
Xenoblade was in there. Little confused to the case, so I brought it to the front, and they're like, oh yeah, it's a display copy, we don't have the game. I was fucking pissed.
Take it out of the bin, then!
Yeah, well, exactly, because I was, like, shitting myself. I'm like, I finally found Xenoblade!
Yeah, right.
And yeah, no, they didn't have it.
No. You do? Yeah, you have a copy of it now, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, okay. When our buddy lived down in Texas, I got him to buy me a copy, because GameStop did a reprint, EB Games did. So in the US, you can find a copy of Xenoblade for, like, the average price of a new game.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Canada, we didn't get the re-release, so if you walk into a game store and even some eBay sellers, they're still selling it for $100 to $120.
Yep.
So, getting it for $65 or whatever from the US and just having him bring it up with him was a lot cheaper.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think I got mine... We had a friend, and they worked at EB Games, and I managed to convince them to pick me up a copy. So, yeah. That worked out.
But at that point, they were still readily available on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know how limited the run was going to be, because I saw it on the shelves. And, of course, back then, high school, cheap ass. I mean, I wasn't willing to buy new games or anything. So I'm like, oh, yeah, the price will keep dropping, whatever. And it was. And then eventually, it was like $30, and there was a couple copies. And I'm like, it'll drop more. Those copies sold, and they never got them back.
Yeah, and now... I mean, the price went so far down, it went up by 4 times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends. Because, I mean, if we go to our local video game stores, I mean, not EB Games or GameStop specifically, but our more specialized ones, you know, it's like, you know, you're not getting a copy of Wind Waker there for fucking $5 or Metroid or anything. Like, you're shelling out at least 40 for those, just because they're AAA
it's
titles.
It's a lot more now. It's really sad.
Oh, yeah. It's
the price of GameCube games have skyrocketed, and they're still going up. Because I keep mentioning this, and I'm always like, 4 years ago. Well, fucking 4 years ago was like 2 years ago. So, I mean, it just keeps fucking climbing.
Yeah, right.
Because there was a point somewhere between, like, 2010, 2012... where the prices of all GameCube games just doubled.
Yeah.
Like, just outright. It was just like, oh my god, everyone's nostalgic for this. Then they have money, disposable income, because they were kids, now they're adults. Double price.
I'm just going to wait until my Class of Heroes is worth enough to, like, put a down payment on a house, and then I'll get rid of that.
Oh, God. If only.
If only. Wouldn't that be nice? If you just checked one day and it was, like, 3 of them sold for, like, 20 grand, I'd be like...
Yeah, frickin' Kelrick's here. He has a sealed copy of Class of Heroes 2G, which, if you exclude limited edition bundles and, like, box sets for the PS3, is the rarest and most expensive game on the console.
What was it worth last time we checked? It was like,
it's like $265, I think.
Yeah, something like
that.
Was
the average price.
So, I mean...
Which is pretty significant for one video game.
I still have that thing in the cardboard it got shipped in.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Like, it has left that cardboard, I think, maybe once.
Yeah. Like, Good job.
It's not moving.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Because Jukebox, what happened? You phoned me or you come over the one day and you're like, oh, bro, check this out. I was like, oh, what is this? You're like, oh, it's a limited edition sealed run. They're the only hard copies that are ever going to get printed. I was like, how much are they? They're $60. I got paid that Friday. I wasn't buying anything else.
Oh, my God.
I wanted a rare video game. And sure enough.
Sure shit, you got one now.
Sure enough, it took 12 weeks to get to me, but I mean, worth it.
Yeah, and then when you moved into your new place here.
I thought I lost it.
Yeah, I was like, hey, dude, did you know your game's worth a bunch of money? Where is it?
About that.
In a box somewhere. Find that box.
I found it. It's all good. I know where it is. Yeah. We good, fam.
Yeah, for people listening, hardcore collectors here.
I mean, I'm a little more on the lower spectrum just because, like, you know, when you have to pay rent, you can't buy games, but...
You buy games, you just trade them in now.
I mean, I gotta afford my new ones somehow. I mean, I don't feel good about it, but...
It was actually really funny. When I was at EB Games, I had a single copy of Tokyo Mirage, and I was like, to my girlfriend, I'm like, hey, how much you want to bet this was Calrix's?
Oh, it definitely was. 100%.
And it was still there when we were getting Breath of the Wild a couple days later.
It's
actually kind of sad because you said that you brought that in. I was like, oh. And you said you got $30, which I was like, okay, well, at least it's somewhat reasonable of a price. I know they're going to go back and charge double for that. But
yeah, but...
But at the same time, that night, I was watching Metal Jesus Rocks, and he was talking about some Wii U games that were gonna, getting rarer and stuff, because especially in some areas in the States, they're just clearing the fuck out of them.
Aw, don't say it.
And he's like, yeah, this one's actually getting really hard to find.
God damn it.
And like, the day you traded in, I'm like, I knew this was gonna happen.
Oh, well. Yeah. I don't have regrets. It was a really good game. I had a lot of fun with it. Talking about it for... super short amount of time is, to me, the issue I had with it is I got so excited when I heard like Shin Megami Tensei crossed with Fire Emblem.
And then there wasn't enough Fire Emblem in it.
Close to zero Fire Emblem. The only things that remain are weapon type advantages. Like 8 Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah.
Like counting bosses and that's it. And what always really grinds my gears kind of, I mean, it didn't happen so much in Tokyo Mirage, is any new Fire Emblem stuff you see, like when you see like Smash Bros and stuff like that, is they're getting way too happy about Awakening and Fates.
Yeah.
Like way too happy. Everything you see Fire Emblem, it's Crom from Fates, Robin from Fates, or not Crom from Awakening and Robin from Awakening, or like Corrin from Fates or something. Give me Lynn.
Yeah.
I want Lynn. I want older characters. I mean, we're getting the new Fire Emblem game, Shadows of Valencia. So we'll get Alm from the second Fire Emblem game ever made.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really excited for that. But, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like you do these crossovers and stuff, and it's like, I mean...
Give the fans something.
Yeah, like, give me a little...
Because we know with Fire Emblem, you know, they released... what was it? Was it Awakening? Because on the 3DS, I can't remember the name of it, it came out and they added in, like, relationships and birth and whatever.
Yeah, that was Awakening. Okay, yeah, you could have, like, kids and stuff.
So in that one, that was, like, their last opportunity. It was like, if this one doesn't do well, they're pretty much canceling Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
So then it did extremely well and they kept building off of it. So now they're trying to hype everything about that so that people forget the older type stuff because that wasn't making them the money.
Which makes me so sad because my love of Fire Emblem literally got born in a Walmart. Like, me and mom were shopping when little old 9-year-old me or whatever, I'm just chilling in the cart going for a ride, going shopping with mom.
Because
we were all kids. We know how fun that is.
Yeah.
Until your mom starts talking to people and you want to end your life. But I mean...
Or if it's my mom and it's like 3 hours for grocery shopping.
Oh. Anyways.
Hold on, I need my air miles.
Yeah, right. So,
which cheese is cheaper?
My mom did the same thing.
Yeah.
But, so we're just going around, and mom always let me stop at, the discount games bin so I could look, and, gave her 5 minutes of break from walking around the store or whatever.
Yeah.
And I find Fire Emblem, and I'm like, you look at the case, because it's just
like the logo.
Yeah, it's the logo, and it's the three main characters, the three main lords. So it's like, you're like, cool, people with swords. Like, that war, like, yeah. So I flip it over, and like... I can't remember what was going on in my little head, because it's like, back then, I mean, there was nothing but like Mario and stuff, essentially. I can't remember what all I had back then. I might have had
Pokemans
and stuff, right? So to see this game where, and it's like, I think, I can't remember what was on the back of the case. I'd have to look it up. But to my knowledge, it was your like the map with like the units on it, a battle screen, and then like a picture of like you selecting your weapon or whatever.
Yeah.
So it didn't really elaborate on the movement system and stuff like that. So I was like, Mom, please. She was like, oh God, this again.
We're going to take a chance. You're going to hate it in like 2 hours and you're going to want to take it back.
Yeah. So,
and then you loved it.
So, you know, I begged and I pleaded and I sold part of my soul to the devil. Actually, I still have the blood contract in my room, but, so anyway, so I got to take it home and it took me 20 minutes to figure out how to move my character.
Wow. Impressive.
Because the tutorials are not nice on a very, very young, inept mind.
Right.
So, I mean, but it's just that. It's like I got into it and I loved it and it was great, right? And that's your first set of characters. It's like I can name 90% of the characters in that first Fire Emblem game, yeah. Right? So it hurts so bad, and that's why I have hope for Fire Emblem Heroes that's coming out.
Yeah.
Because even though it's going to be a beat 'em up like Hyrule Warriors and Dynasty Warriors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I get some old characters.
Like, we know, what's his face from Brawl? They introduced him in Brawl.
Ike,
yeah, we know he's in there.
I love Ike.
From the fucking Radiant games.
Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, yeah. And
so, we know he's in there. I think...
Wait, has he been revealed? I thought Crom was the only one that got revealed.
Oh, remember I told you in the trailer when he, like, picks up the sword or whatever, and then we went and watched that?
Yeah, that's Crom.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, fucking, I'm gonna assume Ike's gonna be in there, because, I mean, fuck them if they don't.
He's still in Smash Bros., which I think is a good place to start. To me, if the Fire Emblem character is in the Smash Bros. Games, very, very high chance they'll be in Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, because, I mean... So, Nintendo still has to go off of, like, what do kids remember? What do kids know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, you're marketing to 13-year-olds, there's no way in fucking hell they're going to remember Lynn because they weren't alive for that.
No, right? So,
and so they might throw her in for the older people who are still playing, but they're going to focus on the newer characters.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be their flagship for sure,
yeah.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I am. Like, I liked Awakening. I loved Fates.
Just give us a little something different.
Yeah, just give the older audience something from when we were children and we first picked up a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
Give me Lynn and Elwood and Hector. Give me Ephraim and Erica from Sealed Swords. Like, just...
Including past characters would even be good for them, because then it introduces the people who didn't know them to these characters they never heard of. Maybe they go look it up on Wikipedia or stuff. They're a little more informed, and then if Nintendo wants, they can just start re-releasing those old games.
And
like,
I mean,
updating them, and the kids will be, like, somewhat on page.
Yeah, right? And of course, DLC is always a thing. Of course, there'll be DLC for character packs and whatnot. But, yeah, it's just that, because it's like, how do you know there's not some, you know... I'm just going to throw out a number. How do you know there's not some 26-year-old guy who played the first Fire Emblem released here in the West,
yeah.
Which was the 7th Fire Emblem, for anybody who doesn't know.
Yeah.
It got some Final Fantasy treatment, but to a much more shitty degree.
Right.
So, how do we know that some guy who didn't pick that up when he was, you know, 12 or 13 or whatever,
yeah,
picked it up, loved it, but just fell out of it? Like, let's say he played the first one, he played, like, the Sealed Stones on GBA, and then he maybe played Path of Radiance on the GameCube,
yeah.
And then he never played Radiant Dawn, he never played Fates, he never played Awakening, he never played any of the other ones, and it was just those original three. He sees a new Fire Emblem game pop up, he's like, oh, I used to love Fire Emblem. If he sees all these new characters, like Crom and Corrin and Robin,
yeah,
he's not going to be like, oh, cool.
Yeah, there's not as much familiarity anymore.
You know, but if you threw the older characters in, like, if you gave us, like, just give me, like, 2 seconds. Just, like, show Lynn cutting somebody in half. And I'm good. I'll slap money on the table. Like.
Yeah, Fire Emblem fan over here.
I love it so much.
So how about this? For a separate episode, we can talk about games we bought in our childhood and RPGs in our childhood.
I love it. Podcast number 2 right there.
Yeah, so everyone stay tuned for that. But we got so off topic, we're still on Gem.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Good conversation is good, but I want to get through this because we're like an hour in.
Beautiful.
But yeah, Gem is very pretty. You can move left or right, so
and
you
up
have
and down.
So you have more. You're not forced to go to the right or something. So I just noticed that.
I'm seeing no slide.
Yeah,
I see no slide. It seems very, very tight. Very. What's the word?
Concise.
Concise, maybe. But like hard.
Yeah.
Right.
So the next game here is Mr. Shifty, and I know a lot of people have been seeing like Jacksepticeye and maybe Markiplier play that online, and they're getting excited for it to come out on Steam and whatnot. But it's actually also coming to the Switch.
I'm just seeing Nightcrawler from X-Men right now.
Yeah,
it looks good though. It looks like a lot of fun.
You kind of like shift in and out of existence to like warp forward and then kill people,
which is
in high volumes. Oh, so I forget what this one's called. Just the one about the seed.
Oh, we'll see the name in a little bit. Okay, so
yeah. What got me so excited about this, because it doesn't seem like much, and most people probably won't care. But in the arcade, there's a game, Ice Cold Beer, and what it is you have two joysticks that move up and down, and each joystick controls one side of a rail. So if you lift up the right side, you have a ball in it, it'll start falling towards the left. If you lift up the left side, it'll fall towards the right. And you have to maneuver the ball into the holes on the board. And that's how the arcade game worked. It's called Tumbleseed. Can you pause for a second?
I sure can.
So, with that, it was a very fun arcade game. I mean,
sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds intense as hell.
Yeah, they're really hard to find. And of course, the holes will light up and then you gotta get it in that hole. Mm-hmm. And kind of the idea was if you got all 10 holes, you'd call over your bartender and they'd give you a free drink.
Nice.
I mean, you'd have to pump in like $5 worth of quarters and then maybe have a chance to actually beat it. So,
but
I mean,
it's a free drink.
Plus fun.
Plus like, fun, yeah.
So, I mean, that's not an arcade game most people would ever think about. It's pretty much completely mechanical and there's not nearly as many of those out there as there is like Pac-Man's.
Now, quick question. Was the Ice Cold Beer one, was that like a digital display or was it like a hard like...
It was fully mechanical. So you have like a metal bar and two joysticks and the joysticks would control conveyor belts on either side of that bar to raise or lower it.
I got you. I just wasn't sure because it's like I'm hearing you and then I'm seeing it on the screen and I'm going like, cool. And then I'm just thinking, wait, no, because he's like... You made it sound mechanical, but I was watching the digital thing, so I was getting mixed up on my own.
I'm talking about an older arcade.
Yeah, no,
game.
I got you. I got that. I just got the two all
mixed up.
Yeah, that.
But it's extremely, because there's a thing called MAME, and that's an emulator for arcade games, which is the main way most people play them at this point. Because I mean, how many people have fucking arcades?
You?
Yeah, I do. I have three. But it's extremely hard to emulate something that's mechanical.
It is.
Because you gotta, like, include physics and all that stuff, and rather than just running numbers through a chip, you actually have to, you know, calculate ball dynamics and rotations and whatnot.
Yeah, you have to take in gravity and how fast things move, and et cetera, et cetera, right?
There's a few emulators specific to, like, Ice Cold Beer.
Mm-hmm.
They have another one. I can't remember what it was called. Same premise, though.
Ice cold tequila?
I don't know. Actually, I think it was more family-friendly, so you could have it places that weren't just bars.
Ice cold ice cream. Milkshakes! We'll go with milkshakes. Now I want a milkshake.
Oh, God. But, I mean, so there was a few dedicated emulators for that specific thing, because you can't just run it in MAME.
Yeah.
And some of them are all right, but it's so difficult, you'll never get the real feel. With this Tumbleseed game, it continuously moves up the screen, and you have to maneuver this seed along a bar using the joysticks in the same way you did on that ice cold beer.
I can imagine you could probably use the Joy-Cons in a...
You
could definitely probably steer it like a friggin' like a Mario Kart wheel or something. I would assume. I would hope.
Which would be just as good. But like, I haven't seen a game like this ever in digital. Like, it excites me so much because it's a concept that was around in like the 80s that no one fucking used ever, and now it's here as a game.
And you know, it's just one of the producers was like, I played this in a bar once upon a time, or I watched my dad play it in a bar. Let's make a video game out of that.
Yeah, and it's slightly different because you're constantly scrolling up and you're actually avoiding the holes in this one.
Yeah, which is backwards. Because how did it... They titled it, what was it? It was Tumbleseed, a Roly Roguelike or something.
Yeah.
So, it was hard to tell, but you could grab, like, weapons and power-ups and stuff to, like, kill little enemies that were on the screen and stuff, but it was kind of vague. So I'm wondering how that'll go, like, if your power-ups are out after time, or if, like, you can get something that maybe makes your seed bigger, or if...
I don't know, but I'll definitely be watching to see more on this. Yeah, for sure.
So,
but,
when there's more, we'll definitely talk about it a little more, because I'm excited about it, too. It looks like a lot of fun, especially if
Are you excited because I'm excited?
No, I'm actually... it looks fun. I like games like that, right?
Okay. But, oh my god, my mind's just being blown right now.
I'm sorry.
But anyways, you avoid the holes. It's tilting. And beyond all that, it's a roguelike. So if you don't know what a roguelike is it's procedurally generated. So every time you play it, it's going to be different.
So immediately, assuming it's an eShop game, which it most likely will be. Because, I mean, you can't drop a hard copy of a game like that. It won't sell.
Yeah, I'm assuming everything that they're showing right now is an eShop.
Most likely.
Indie title.
So, I mean, you spend maybe 15, 20 bucks max on this thing, yeah. And you literally have unlimited replayability. Because it's going to be different every single time. You're never going to get the same power-ups. You might play it one day, die in 10 minutes, play immediately after that, and you might get the perfect board. And you might be playing it for 2 hours straight. Like, you never know, right? I have a roguelike on my phone, and granted, it's brutal. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just that. It's a matter of, because I watched videos on YouTube about it. I won't get into it too much, but I watch YouTube videos, and it's like, from what I can see, it's literally just people getting incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just that. It's like, unless you're really friggin' good, somehow, which with a roguelike is very hard to do.
Yeah.
Because just that, everything's random. The only thing that's ever consistent in most roguelikes, aside from that, because it's like you're not getting to choose a character class or anything
with
Tumbleseed. But I mean, it's like if I choose a warrior, I'm starting with a sword and more health than normal.
Yeah.
That's the only consistent you're getting in a roguelike. After that, everything's out the window. You might not find a good weapon until the third level. You might boot up the game and there might be one right beside you one day. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because it's...
I mean, the replayability of this game also comes down to, like, if you enjoy this type of game. Like, if you play it and you hate it, obviously you're not going to play it. But if you like it, even, like, 10 years later, you fucking dust off your Switch or whatever, and you boot it up, and it's like, I have 10 minutes to kill. There it is.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's a good game that you can get, like, a quick bit of play in, and it's going to be different every time.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you pull it out 10 years later, you're not trying to remember... You know, how did I get through this level? You're just playing the level. So, I mean, I'm fucking excited about that one.
I am too. I'll keep an eye out for it.
And also, it's got that aesthetic that keeps running throughout these videos. So, like, it kind of looks the same as Gem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's another one it kind of looks like. It's the colors and the shapes. I don't know.
I mean, maybe I'm just a simple-minded fool, but I see pretty things and I'm like,
Yeah. Actually, that's kind of a theme throughout this whole thing. It's like... pixelated goodness and nice geometrical shapes with soft pastel colors
and solid gameplay.
Yeah.
Boom, winner. Let's make a game. Throw some pinks and some greens and we'll make it real nice.
You know, I could actually probably do that.
Probably.
I know a little bit of C++, but it doesn't extend to really complicated things.
I mean, one day, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on from Tumbleseed now.
And while this is happening, I'm going to be getting a drink.
Yeah, do that. ...16-bit, the perfect balance.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not wrong. 16-bit's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, as far as...
Oh, God.
I can't remember this one's called. It's essentially Retro City Rampage.
But in 16-bits. It looks good.
I mean, Retro City Rampage was a bitty game. But this is like a run-and-gun from the same developers.
Mm-hmm.
Open-worlded run-and-gun, it kind of looks like. Like, you have a lot of space on the screen to move, and you can move off of the screen to newer areas.
I'll tell you right now, I would die so fast, my aim is not that on point.
Yeah.
I
personally don't really care about this.
I think it looks interesting. It's one of those things where it's like, if I went over to Buddy's house and he was like, oh hey, I got this, you should give it a try, I'd be like, let's go, but...
Yeah.
As far as buying it personally,
I do like these people exploding into coins. You know, little throwback to,
Shakedown Hawaii.
Right. That. What fucking game am I thinking of? I have it on virtual.
Scott Pilgrim?
Well, Scott Pilgrim also did it, but like they were copying.
I just think Retro City Ramp, or yeah,
it's something like that. Because they also did like the Super Dodgeball, whatever, with the same character sprites on the NES.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I got nothing though.
Oh God, fucking, it's on the tip of my tongue. Three episodes later, I'll remember.
Yeah, pretty much. All of a sudden, oh, this.
But yeah, that's always a nice throwback.
I think that game, Shakedown Hawaii, with the Retro City Rampage, it'll definitely get a garnering from older fans. Like, yeah. if somebody was like, oh my god, Retro City Rampage was like my game back when I was a kid, like, they'll buy it.
Retro City Rampage was something that came out a few years ago.
Which one am I thinking of then?
You're thinking of the one I'm thinking of that we can't remember the name of.
Son of a bitch!
Gah.
Frick!
Gah.
The thing with the guy and the...
Okay, so what I'm actually going to do right now is fucking Google it, and maybe I'll have to cut this out.
My brain hurts.
Side scroll.
River City.
Yeah, River City Rampage.
I win the internet.
I knew Rampage was in it.
Well, that's where I was getting screwed up. I was like, City Rampage. What am I missing?
Yeah, that game is fucking amazing, and I have it. And yeah,
it's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah. Okay, well, let's see what's next.
Yeah. I wonder if this guy has like Botox.
I don't know. His forehead looks kind of shiny.
I'm talking about his. They're showing us like almost like an 8-bit fighter, like Street Fighter type fighter. They were really talking a lot about this one. They were trying to hype it up. I don't know why.
I
think in general it's really hard to get people into new 2D fighters.
Agreed.
It's like fucking Street Fighter 2. They're still making new ones. That game is. What, 20 what years old?
30? I don't want to know.
I think it's 30. It's some sort of anniversary, which is why they're doing it. But, like, it's really hard to get people into a new one. Like, that's why the old ones are still king.
Well, I mean, that's just it. It's like, if I have to choose between Pocket Rumble or just getting a virtual console version of Street Fighter 2 Turbo or something, I'm just going to get Street Fighter.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one I want to get excited about.
Yeah. I saw this.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. I saw it. It popped up on my YouTube recommended, but I don't know. I'm super on the fence about it because it's like, I love the style.
Yeah, like...
But I tried Advance Wars once and it just... I don't know what it was. It just didn't feel the same.
This got me so crazy excited though because like, I like Advance Wars and this is... almost like 32-bit type graphics, like there's a lot of animation to the characters even in their like standing poses and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, we haven't had a new Advance Wars game since like the Game Boy Advance.
There was one on the DS.
Was there?
Yeah. Advance Wars.
Came out on the DS, that was still probably at least 10 years ago. That's a long ass time.
Yeah, it is a long time. I'm just saying that it was the newest one was on DS at least.
But yeah, like, and this isn't made by the same people or anything. It's just in the same kind of style with, like, a medieval twist. And, I don't know, it's just... it's exciting and beautiful because no one's really done Advanced Wars since Advanced Wars.
I see copyrights incoming.
I mean, it's coming out on a Nintendo platform. They had to approve it.
That's true.
You can't, like, copyright a type of gameplay.
What I would probably do... because, again, I have a hard time seeing this as a hard release. But at the same time, it's like... Advance Wars was a hard release, so why wouldn't this be?
I think everything we've seen is an eShop thing, and I think that's because these are the independent developers. Advance Wars, wasn't that like Nintendo first party or maybe second party?
It may have been. I'd have to check. I can't remember for sure, but
But yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if some of these got physical releases, but I don't see any of these. I think they're all download, and I think what they're trying to push. This got my girlfriend excited. Stardew Valley's coming to the Switch.
This gets a lot of hype, and I don't understand why.
I mean, you don't like those kinds of games. Like,
no, I don't.
The Harvest Moons and whatnot. And I know this is the last one in this presentation, by the way. I mean, it's going to be a big deal for a lot of people because, you know, they can take it anywhere without having to lug a laptop around even.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the first one to have the multiplayer compatibility.
I suppose, yeah, that was getting a lot of hype.
So that'll probably be the only reason why people will kind of buy into that if they haven't already got Stardew Valley. Or even if they do have it, it's like, they'll want to play it on the Switch because it'll have multiplayer first.
That's one that we skipped by accidentally, was the new Shovel Knight.
I was wondering why we hadn't seen it.
So there's a picture of all of them.
Hold on, don't move it yet.
Hang on. There we go.
Okay, I see Wonder Boy in there.
I do see Wonder Boy. Okay, I'm going to get up close. I'm going to get up close here. I might have to yell a little bit.
Yeah.
What didn't we see?
Well, a lot of these are just games that are going to be on there. They're only showing like the really big deals right now.
Yeah, I see that. I'm just looking for anything that might be... I mean, they're putting Terraria on it, which I'm excited about. I love Terraria.
Yeah, just...
Wonder Boy.
Which excites me, because, you know, Wonder Boy was a classic on the Master System, which, fuck if anyone actually remembers that thing. Mm-hmm.
The other one I'm seeing that looks interesting, I don't know what it is, but Portal Knights.
Portal Knights.
Right here at the bottom. I don't know what it could be.
I have no clue.
But it sounds fun.
We should... Have you seen the new Shovel Knight trailer?
I saw bits and pieces.
Let's go back and find it, because it is so beautiful. Ugh. You don't play a Shovel Knight.
No, you play a Spectre Knight.
Yeah. I didn't play the first Shovel Knight, so...
It's so good.
I know. It's been on my wish list forever, and I'm just like... $17.
I could have sworn it was on sale for like $6 at one point.
It goes on sale with like all of their regular sales, but it's always $11.99.
What the crap?
Tumbleseed.
I couldn't. No, it was in here. I know it was. Okay, well, anyway, we'll just find the trailer for it.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's the first thing. Because I remember. Maybe it's because it was in the related videos and I just clicked on it after something. But like,
I could have sworn I saw Spectre Knight flipping at one point, though.
Maybe.
But I'm.
I don't know. This was another one they were pushing a lot, which is why I got its own trailer and stuff. But. Shovel Knight's just a good time. I've seen so much like gameplay of it and stuff, and I mean, it's something that I would thoroughly enjoy because I enjoy like that kind of art style with pixels, like sprites. And I mean, it just has so much detail.
I didn't think it was possible, but it looks even prettier.
I'd believe it. I mean, Shovel Knight did so well; they gotta have money.
Well, yeah, that's just it, right? I love scythes, too.
Yeah.
In any video game, if I can have a scythe, I want it.
Yeah.
I love scythes.
I couldn't remember anything about Spectre Knight, so I wonder how other people are like... Are they accepting that he's the main character now or something?
I mean, we got in the original Shovel Knight, we got DLC that made Plague Knight a main character, so I can't see how anybody could possibly bitch about it.
I don't know, it's just... Because it's called Shovel Knight, I would expect to play as the Shovel Knight, you know?
I mean, but that's just it.
Oh, I love this monochromatic one.
Oh, it's so pretty.
She's like, how do we make this look like Game Boy, but with like 30 times the bits?
You remember that thing? That thing that literally didn't fit in your pocket, even though it was named a Game Boy Pocket? Yeah, that. Let's make it look like that.
Yeah.
Lots of greens and grays.
Oh, so pretty.
It is. It's gorgeous. I mean, I have Shovel Knight on my DS if you ever want to come over and just try it out one of these days, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to buy it eventually. It's just, you know, I have a long list of games that I want to buy.
Limited
funds, and, you know, sometimes I just don't care. I got to be in a mood to play something.
See, the part that strikes me as weird now is it's like, when you're playing through Shovel Knight, you fought all of the other knights.
Okay.
So now, why are you playing through as Spectre Knight and, again, fighting all of the knights? Like, didn't they learn their lesson the first time?
I mean, I guess.
Because it's just weird to me, because it's like Spectre
it's
Knight.
It's not new knights or something, is it?
Sonic
Mania.
Oh, Sonic Mania.
Let's switch on. Okay, guys, by the way, we're no longer in the Nindies.
We're just
flipping through stuff.
Yeah, we're going on to other stuff that's wonderful and awesome and
yeah.
All that.
Sonic Mania, it's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, I think. So I'm definitely getting it. I'll probably get it on PC because I don't want to wait till I have enough money for a Switch.
Yeah, no.
Because, my God, I bought Sonic Episode 4. And Episode 4 Part 2. And that was supposed to be their big new return, and it just wasn't as good as the old ones. Like, I didn't mind that it was a 2.5D. It's just the physics of it. It just felt wrong. And that's what it was for most people. And then a lot of people for part two, they didn't like where you like combine with Tails to like do a spin thing to get higher or whatever.
I mean,
'cause that really messes with the flow.
To me too, though, when it comes to stuff like that, I find people just need to find something to bitch about. Because it's like...
It's not a really bad game. It's no fucking Sonic 06.
Oh, but,
oh, it's so beautiful.
Like, Sonic Mania just looks awesome.
And they have new levels and old levels, so you'll see at points they're actually in Green Hill Zone.
I was about to say, gee, I wonder where you start then.
Yeah, it says Reimagined Classics, and here it is. Drool. I'm hoping there's, like, an adequate amount of levels. Like, I have the feeling that they might screw it up and give you, like, 8 levels. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure they're not that stupid.
Yeah. It might sound dumb. That's important.
Yeah,
the drop dash, that's important to me. Because that was a huge issue in the old Sonic games, at least for me, is I had a really hard time keeping my momentum.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just a shitty video game player, but I mean...
Generally, you're really good. I love how he does, like, a flip thing. It looks like he's just gonna put the finger up, and then they're like, no, this is a new game. We got more advanced shit, and he just spins around.
He knows how to breakdance now!
Actually, from an animation standpoint, that was actually really interesting, because they gotta do a lot of stretching and squashing and stuff when they move him around like
that. Yeah, for sure.
But, the spin deck. So, in Sonic 1, you don't have that. In Sonic 2, you hold down, and you spin, and he's like, and then you go. So, that's their way of fixing it then. I imagine they still have that in Sonic Mania, but now you also have a drop dash, so it's a little bit quicker.
And the drop dash, I find, like, from what I've seen, the main point of it is literally just to be able to maintain your momentum. If you stopped and charged up your spin dash, you're going way faster. But, I mean, if you need to make a jump and you hit a wall and you lose your momentum, at least you're able to fall, hit the ground, and go.
Yeah.
There's no downtime, there's no lag, there's no,
That's assuming also that you don't have to first jump before you go.
That's also true.
Like, if you're in the air and you press down in A or whatever, and then you do the drop dash, fine.
Yeah, so...
But if you hit the wall, stop, have to jump, and then it does it.
Yeah. So to that point, it's a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hindrance?
No, I was saying it's a mechanics thing. Like, we don't know... We don't have a list of controls and how the game is gonna play exactly yet. So it's like, all you can do is speculate.
I always try and make the best assumption that they know what they're doing, they're gonna do it well.
I mean, that's just
it. They've proven that they haven't before, but I always make that good assumption first.
I mean, that's just it. It's like...
And then they can prove me wrong.
It's like, we've had how many Sonic games that were just not fun?
And, yeah. I mean, they've made a lot of shit, but, you know, people... I don't know why, because, like, with these 2D ones, and the reason they're doing Sonic Mania is because so many people are nostalgic, and they're like, this is what Sonic was, this is how Sonic is done well, you know, it's in 2D, you have this momentum and all that stuff. Everyone I talk to, they seem to forget that the original Sonics were platformers and you don't always have the momentum. I mean, in Green Hill Zone, you just go, ooh, and you're done.
Yeah. And that's...
The next level, you go for a little bit and then you actually gotta do platforming.
Yeah. Which I think, like...
It's not all momentum.
I think the main reason everybody forgets about that is it's like, you blast through Green Hill Zone, no problem. And then it's like, you remember that thing called difficulty? We just spiked it up to 100.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And even within Green Hill Zone, if you actually take your time and do some actual fucking platforming, you get better power-ups and you get higher up, more rings, all that stuff.
Absolutely. It rewards playing the game how it's supposed to be played, right?
Yeah.
But as far as Sonic goes, like, they did the first three. They did Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and then Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic 3 and then Sonic and Knuckles.
Well, yeah, but that's the expansion, but you know what I mean. The reason I get it mixed up is because when I got it, all I had was Sonic and Knuckles. I didn't have Sonic 3, right? I just had the add-on, so it was night and day for me. So, I mean, but it's like, and then it's like, so we get those, and they're all good, and then we get a couple of decent 3D games, like Sonic Adventure 2 Battle and Sonic Adventure DX and everything. Those were good.
Yeah.
Those were fine.
I mean, that's usually where everyone starts drawing the line. When he first goes to 3D, I've recently, like, more recently gone back and played Adventure on the Dreamcast.
Yep.
And it's kind of a difficult time, you know? The camera's not perfect, but I mean, if people freak out about how great Mario 64 still is, its camera isn't great either. These games don't age that well.
No.
But I mean, it's not horrid. I can still play it. I'm not going to glitch the fuck out everywhere like Sonic 06.
And I mean, the Sonic Adventure games, when they were ported... Because Adventure Battle 2, that was on Dreamcast as well, right?
Yeah, back then it was just called Adventure 2.
Okay, yeah. So when they got ported to the GameCube and we got Sonic's Adventure DX, Director's Cut, and we got Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, they controlled great.
Yeah, they fixed a few of the things that were bad on the Dreamcast version because they had more time to kind of develop. Yeah,
exactly. So they were able to fix it up, right? So it's like if you think about those, and then it's like you go from those to Sonic 06.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, one of the worst games ever made. It's fun to watch somebody speedrun, though. I'm just throwing that out there. But and then you get like Sonic and the Secret Rings and Sonic and the Black Knight and Sonic Unleashed and then just all that crap. Sonic Unleashed was okay.
Okay, so after Adventure, I mean, there was a lot of really shitty kind of 2D-ish ones in there, like 3D Blast and stuff. The best, or at least what a lot of people consider the best 2D one, Sonic CD, came out, which is amazing.
It is. It's
good. If you actually owned a 32X, Knuckles Chaotix was actually pretty fun. A little bit of a side game.
I watched a guy play through that on YouTube once. He did a Let's Play of it, and it did seem good. He had trouble with the mechanics sometimes, with being connected to one of the Chaotix and everything at all times and stuff. It screwed him up at a couple points, but for the most part, he had fun with it, and he liked it, right?
It's still a fun game. But, yeah. And then you had Adventure 2. What came after that was Heroes, and I tried playing Heroes, and it's okay when you're moving fast. They kind of got the whole, you know, if you're running super fast and you're going through a loop and stuff, they put it so the camera's at the side. You're not looking like first person kind of deal or over the shoulder. But there's a lot of points where it just becomes frustrating where you have to gather all three of them and then you like go into a circle, you press a button combo, and it gets really boring really fast.
It does. I liked Sonic Heroes when I played it back when I was younger and it was a newer thing. I remember we rented it for the GameCube, the one... Yeah. For a weekend or whatever, right? Yeah. And, like, I had fun with it, but at the same time...
At that point, it was mediocre.
It was, and
came next was Sonic 06, and that's just horrid for several reasons, including, like, terrible development cycle.
I mean, that's what I was getting at, too, is it's like, I played Sonic Heroes, and I had fun with it. When I first played Sonic 06, I had fun with it, and then I got to the game-breaking stuff, and it died real fast. Yeah. Right.
And as far as, like, the Black Knight and Secret Rings and all that stuff, kids actually really enjoy those games.
I played a little bit of the Black Knight, and I played a little bit of the Secret Rings. I see the entertainment value
in
it.
They're not totally horrid, but they're back to that mediocre state that, like, that Heroes was in.
Exactly. I just, when I refer them to being, like, those garbage games, it's just, like, they don't hold up. Nobody cares. Like, Sonic Unleashed was okay because they actually handled the speed parts fairly well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the music was really good. And then when you got to the whole, you know, Werehog thing.
Yeah.
I didn't totally hate it.
Yeah.
It was... Because when you talk about Sonic Unleashed, most people's bitching argument is, oh, he's so slow and he's a Werehog. I mean, yeah, that's because he just gained 400 pounds of friggin' muscle. Like, what do you want?
When you're in Werehog mode, you're mostly just fighting bad guys at that point.
Yeah, which is fine. It's like, stop. At that point, take it for what it is. Take it as a, like, racing platformer game.
Yeah.
And the other half as a beat-em-up, because that's what I thought. I had a lot of fun kicking the crap out of baddies as a big, strong Werehog. I mean, by standards, compared to the old stuff, and just, like, what everybody knows Sonic is all about, which is, you know, speed and everything, is, you compare it to that, and it's like, you still get the speed at certain parts, but... So, it fell short, but it was good. And then we got Sonic Generations.
Generations was great.
Great. I loved it so much.
It's so weird, because it's not quite a reboot, but they've tried to revitalize the series so many times. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, once they got it to 3D, they tried revitalizing it with, like, Adventure and stuff.
Yeah.
Because those few games in between where, like, Sonic 3 and Sonic CD came out, those ones were kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then you had Adventure and people loved it. And then Sonic 06, they were trying to revitalize it again, but they completely fucking failed because they made a shit game. And then they tried to do it again with, like, Colors and Generations, which were fairly good games, and they were the highest rated in quite a long time for them. But then they released Sonic Boom, where they were trying to reboot it, and that game just was shit for almost the same reasons that Sonic 06 was. Yeah. And at this point, they're kind of trying to reboot it again. They're giving us something that we know we'll like, Sonic Mania. And then much later in the year, they're going to be revealing something that's more Sonic 06-esque, but hopefully a lot better.
Could you Like, and it's just one of those things. It's like, could you imagine how awesome Sonic 06 would have, could have been?
Yeah.
Had they just, you know, for lack of a better term, given a shit?
Yeah.
Like, had you not been clipping through things and, like, I'm sorry, take the town out.
Yeah.
Take the town out. But...
have a different hub.
Have a different hub. Because, I mean...
A big problem with Sonic 06 and Sonic Boom and stuff, it's not like the mechanics are horrid. You kind of understand them. You can get around them. You get used to them, whatever. Sometimes yeah. you might like them. Level design is shit.
It is.
Across all of them. So, like, in Sonic Boom, you'll be in, like, this open area, and you won't know where the fuck to go. Like, there's a way to do open world, and there's a way not to, and they did the way not to.
Yeah. Well, it's the same in Sonic 06. I remember when I played it when I was younger. I got to one area. It was a forest level or whatever. And it's just that. I was going along, and all of a sudden I, like, stop, and I'm like...
Where am I going?
Yeah. And it's just that.
Where do
that.
I go? What do I do?
And it's just that. And then because that game is so broken, I'm like, okay, that way looks right. And I tried jumping to another section, and I clip through. And yeah. I just fall into the crushing abyss of stop playing this game.
Yeah. And I remember when you had it and I tried to play it, I literally couldn't move because he was so fucking fast.
Yeah.
I was, like, trying to talk to a guy and just running around him in circles and jumping off into the water. And I'm just like, nope, nope, done, nope. Yeah, so I played it for, like, 10 seconds.
That's how I played COD. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited for Sonic Mania. And yeah. I hope that yeah. what they're coming out with next, if, like you said, if it's supposed to be Sonic 06-esque, just, you know, done the right way.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. Because Sonic 06, like, at the end of the day, it looked really pretty. And it had some decent music in it.
Yeah.
And, I mean... The levels looked awesome. It's just they were designed terribly. Because it's...
A lot of things were designed terribly.
Well, that's just it, right? But breaking it down, right? It's like you look at a platformer, and what's the most important thing for a platformer?
Controls.
Controls and being linear to a degree.
Yeah.
Like, you play through Mega Man X, again, like, one of the most perfect platform games, like, ever, whatever, right?
Yeah.
I'm just elaborating. Don't be...
Now I got it.
But
we're listening to people upstairs argue.
Neighbors. So it's like you compare to Mega Man X, and it's like you're never really at a point where you're like, oh no, which direction do I go in? Because it's like you're either going left to right and moving upwards or down.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever move down, but
not really.
Same point, right? Or you're going to the right. And it's the same when you play Sonic games. You're always moving to the right or up or something.
Yeah.
Right? Assuming you're not in a water level, in which case down is a possibility.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just it. Is it's like, you bring out a 3D Sonic game, and when it comes to, like, when they did, like Adventure and Adventure Battle and stuff, yeah. same thing. The levels were linear. You were never lost, yeah, for lack of a better
you
term.
You had a direction to go. So, like, even on the first level, once you get past that orca and you get onto the island... I mean, you can kind of move around the island, but the way you go, you know which way you're moving. You're moving forward.
Right. So, and then you go into Sonic 06, and it's like, hell, the first level, you get to a point, and you play as Tails, and it's like, you can go everywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
Sonic was not made to go everywhere.
No, he's made to go...
They lost sight of what their character is and what he does.
And that's just it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, they kind of technically dug him into a hole with the whole speed thing. But I mean,
yeah.
It's just that. At the end of the day, he's a platformer. And you can do 3D platformers. You can.
Yeah.
I can't think of a perfect example off the top. Oh, wait, Sonic Adventure Battle 2. That did it just fine.
Yeah.
Just fine. So, I mean, it's just that. Hopefully Sonic Mania brings it back to... what it can be and what it should be to make it, you know, really good.
We bitch because we care.
We bitch because we care. Because nothing would make me happier than picking up a Sonic game and going, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, the way it used to be.
Exactly.
So, do you want to wrap this up soon?
We'll stay on base a little more for the next podcast.
Yeah, so if anyone's still listening at this point, thank you very much for listening to our first podcast.
Indeed!
If you want to hear more of us, there will be more to come. We kind of established that our next topic will be RPGs and games we bought as a kid.
Yeah, we'll maybe talk about Breath of the Wild for a little bit, or we might just leave that for the one after that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, like, kind of gotta give it a little time so we're not doing total spoilers. We don't want to, like, release our first podcast and be like, spoiler warning. don't watch this if, because yeah, we need you to watch this.
Yeah,
Be our friends.
Well,
be our internet friends.
For the next one, we'll stick to like old RPGs that we play and stuff. We'll talk about like Fire Emblem and
good
stuff
good
like that.
Things.
Good things. Lots of good things.
Well, I've been Jukebox Hero.
I'm Kelrix King.
I'm still Jukebox Hero. And this is the Infinity Games Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Bye, guys.
I'm so glad this didn't crash.